The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, finding the will of God. This may be one of the most elusive components for many Christ followers. The irony is that in a few simple steps, most believers can narrow in on the Lord's desired plan for them. You can, biblically, even feel your way there. What? What are you talking about? Next, are you in need? You can requisition necessary funds from God's royal treasury. Uh-oh. Ezra did this. This promise is also for us in the New Testament. It's accessible for those who are generous. Philippians 4:19 is alive and well, but it is a promise given to those who are supportive of the kingdom, and we will examine that. And finally, whatever God wants, we say it all the time, but do we mean it? In Abraham's case, God wanted to cut the idol out of him that he had made of Isaac, his own child. Would Abe have done that whole thing with the knife? Well, God said he would have. So we need to be careful and honest. Do we want to be like Jesus? Then let's count the cost.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone. She's back from vacation. It's great to have her. And it'll be nice, and you can talk to her, and that's terrific. And here's the bottom line. The bottom line is any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's hardly radio. But it is radio. It's just hardly radio. And that's why we call it a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. Now, you might have a thought, an opinion, a comment, an idea. Maybe you have something that's going on in your life where the Lord is working in your life and you want to share it, or you just want to kind of have somebody hear it or do a, you know, have a soundboard for it. Maybe you've got a prayer request that you are just trying, just petitioning the Lord, and you just want more people praying with you. Maybe you have an answer to Bible trivia. Like this first Bible trivia question, all I'm going to say is beware. I've already warned you. How many of the sacrifice sheep did Moses take into the ark with him? Just a straightforward question. How many sacrifice sheep did Moses take in the ark with him? So, I'm just going to leave that there, see if you can figure out that. You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483, or you can email david@hemustincrease.org, which leads us to encouraging you to go to the website. It is a place to give. I will tell you, we got our bill last week, and I will tell you, my knees did not shake, but they did drop to the ground and say, "Oh Lord, open up the windows of heaven." So if you're able to give and it's a part of it and the Holy Spirit's leading you, great. If not, Don't worry. Did you hear what I said? If not, don't worry. Don't stress. Just pray for us. Check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so somebody's calling in to answer the trivia. We already have somebody texting in who caught it. Very nice. That's all I'm going to say. Very nice. Another person. Very nice. People are like, oh, Dave, come on, buddy. That's all I can say. That's all I got for you. That's why we do stuff like this. Keeps everybody thinking. And besides, it makes Monday more like a Tuesday, and then Tuesday more like a Thursday, Thursday more like a Saturday, and before you know it, it's Friday. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. How you doing, my good friend?
I'm doing excellent.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm praying for you on a regular basis. All right, here's
Thank
the question.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Now, here you go. I know you probably caught this, but here you go. How many of the sacrificed sheep did Moses take into the ark with him?
Wait a minute.
That's right. Moses. That's right. That's right. How many did Moses take in?
He didn't take any in.
That's right. That's it. That's it. That's right. Moses didn't take anything into the ark. That was Noah.
His great-great-great-grandfather.
That's right. Good job, buddy. Just as I said it to you, you go, wait a minute. Perfect. That's what it is. I was really just making sure people knew who took what where, and you caught it right off the bat. That was great job, my brother. Really good. That was perfect live radio because you're just like, wait a minute.
At first I thought you said Noah, so I was trying to break it down.
Yeah, that's
because of the clean he would take double.
Yeah, and that's why that was so funny, because then when I repeated the question and kind of gave you a second, you were like, hold on there, Spoon. Just a second. Good job, my brother. That's what I wanted. Excellent okay. work.
Hey, one thing.
Yeah, fire away.
How's your son, your grandson doing?
He's, you know what? He's doing better. He's had some ups and downs, but it's really weird. He's growing, which I think is, by the grace of God, he's growing like much faster than her other kids did, and that growing helps him heal faster. So I think that the Lord's doing something really weird there, and even my daughter's shaking her head.
Yeah, but you got to realize he's a miracle baby.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's all by himself. He's a statement of faith, isn't he?
Absolutely.
That's right,
and
my
brother. And God's going to do great things with it.
That's right.
That's my belief now.
Amen. I stand with you, though. I stand with you. And I appreciate you asking and thinking about him. That's a blessing for me to hear.
All right, my brother.
Right. God bless you.
Bye.
Okay.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Brother Ronnie, just nailing it down. He's going to be a blessing. He's going to have a testimony. I think you're right, Ronnie. I do. All right, let me go into Ezra. We're still in Ezra 7. This section is so good, I don't know if I'll get through the whole thing, but we'll try. Remember we talked last week, we talked about giving. We talked about volunteer giving, kind of an important amount to understand, or principle to understand about the amounts that giving should be voluntary, okay? It should be one of those processes. Now, here I want you to listen to this follow-up that happened from King Xerxes. You know, every time I say his name, I say it wrong. It's Artaxerxes, just in case you wanted to know. Artaxerxes. And so from him, this is a follow-up. This is another thing he wrote. Listen to what it says. Any money that is left over may be used in whatever way you and your colleague feels is the will of God. Wait, you can't say that. Why, the will of God has got to be spelled out in a plan, and you got to get the blueprints. And the blueprints have to say, put A and B together, make C and D together, then put A and B and C and D together. That's how it's supposed to be, the will of... No. Just read John 3. As many as are born in the spirit, they're like the wind. It goes over there. It goes over there. Who knows? We don't know. It doesn't know. We don't know. Here's the deal. The deal is God has a very specific, basic, common will. And that will applies to your life. And you and I should be deeply aware that we need to be fulfilling that will. If you're asking, well, what are some of those things in the will of God? I think you know it's to believe in the gospel. I think you know it's to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And not just grow, but to encourage others to participate with Jesus and help them grow. That's everybody, not somebody. It doesn't mean you have to be an evangelist, but it does mean you have to be a representative, an ambassador, a reflector of the image and glory and grace of God. Everybody has that. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." One of the wills that God has determined for you and I to understand is giving thanks throughout all processes. People are like, "Oh, processes." All processes, because God works it all out for good. But there's this other part, this other element that you walk with the Lord, and the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God in Romans chapter 8. And in this portion, it says, hey, whatever's left over on this money, you know, you guys give it as you see fit, as is the will of God, as you feel like this is the will of God. And there are times where you make decisions with counsel, with wisdom, with scripture, with prayer, that you go, as best as I get it, I feel like this is the right way. And there's nothing wrong with that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, I went over here, I did this, I had no peace of mind, so I didn't stay. Didn't feel right, wasn't comfortable, something goofy. Not cool. Sometimes you get to use that. Not all the time. Your feelings don't lead the train. They're just on the train of your faith. Truth leads the train, followed by love. Sometimes you got to feel your way through it. Is it right? Feels right. I think this is the Lord. And then you surrender it and do your best, right? Okay. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes. But all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying and I started getting mad. And then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you. And this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so, you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now you, how do you think after that happens? How do you think I feel? Okay, so now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right, because I'm just lost. And he prays for me, and it's powerful. It's like, you know. It's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, ready? And that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church. And I was preaching Romans 1:16. The very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church. In Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing.
that I hope you really hear, and that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're kind of, we're mashugi from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Nice to hear from Troy. Nice to hear from Ronnie. It's always nice, isn't it? All righty. Ready for the next trivia question? Okay. Then I have some jokes, but I have to give another warning. You know, this joke thing, you tell the jokes, you got to give a warning. It's like, wow. I don't like that part of it. Anyway, who are the people who found frogs on their beds and in their ovens? Who are those people? Who were the people in the Old Testament? Who are the people that found frogs on their beds and in their ovens? If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Okay, here's a private message. I gotta tell this one to my good friend Eric. Ready, Eric? The beginning part of that is what's green and red and goes 200 miles an hour. He'll get that. Okay, green and red and goes 200 miles an hour. All right, let's see if you guys know the answer on the trivia question. See, that's what we do in conversations while we're doing the show. Call in 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Who are the people who found frogs on their beds and in their ovens? You got a chance to answer that. All right, I have a little bit of humor. Can I stress the line little bit of humor? But you're going to need the buzzer, right? I mean, you come back from vacation. This is going to be not a lot of bells. Yeah, I just get that ready. All right, here we go. Wait, right, somebody's calling. I'm going to let her answer the phone so that she can do the buzzing on these jokes, because these jokes are important. And why are they important? Because I feel I need to tell them. That's why they're important. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So I'm just telling you that that's what's going on. All right. I'm going to let her put the person on hold, and then we're ready for the jokes. And then they can just wait, right? They can wait just a second. All right. What do priests say to get rid of insects in the church? Let us spray. Okay. I don't know. I went to a church yard sale looking for a grill. Unfortunately, they only had friars. Let's see, church friars. Okay. All right. What... It might be this way all the way through. What do you call an atheist church? A nonprofit organization. Okay, here's the one exception. Why do melons have to get married in a church? Why do melons have to get married in a church? Because they cantaloupe. Come on, that is good. All right.
I knew that one.
You did? Oh, that one, that's so funny. All right, well, end with this. If I do this last one, I'm going to get in so much trouble. We'll do this one. Why don't skeletons play music in church? No organs. All right. I'm just going to tell you these other two. I don't feel like getting 30 emails on this. You know, it has to do with bus and people. Oh, forget it. Let's just move on. All right, we got somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Let's do it. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hey, Deborah. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. All right. So this is not, I don't think it's really challenging, but it is kind of disgusting. Who were the people who found frogs on their beds and in their ovens?
Wasn't it the Egyptians?
That is correct, Amundo. And it really gives new meaning to the term casserole, because that would just be as disgusting as could be. Hey, look, the casserole is moving. Okay, never mind. That's just gross. How you been? You been doing pretty good?
Yes, sir. Oh. I'm just wondering if you could pray for my friend Susie.
Yep, absolutely. What's going? Give me an update, and then we'll pray for her real quick.
I just wish you would pray for her not to have any fear. She's dealing with some really bad physical stuff, and she's kind of scared. So I would hope she would, you know, lose her fear.
Okay, let's do it. Let's pray specifically for Susie and the fears. Let's do it together.
Okay.
Father,
Thank you, Father, we
come before you right now. We bless you, praise you, we worship you. We know that in you is great security and great safety exists in you. So we're praying for Susie. This is a friend of Deborah's, and we're asking you to breach that hole inside of her that has just been filled with fear and the anticipation of dread and a certain expectation of terror. And we're just asking you to close that hole up and fill it all around it and seal it with faith and let her, instead of being anticipatory of what is bad, let her have a greater sense of confidence in that you're going to step in and that you're a God of comfort and you are a God of safety. It does say in your word, but God is safe, or God is safety. And so we ask you for that process to really move into her heart and mind. We pray for her and pray that Deborah keeps praying for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Keep us posted so we can know how she's doing. Okay. And we'll keep praying, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you. You guys have a great afternoon.
All right. God bless. All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. So you like praying for people. It's good to pray for people. Because you get other people in there. So when you're praying, if you're thinking about it, and you think about Deborah, and you think about Susie, and just like, and that's one of the cool things if you're thoughtful of other people. If you think about Deborah as one of the people that call on the show, then you think, oh, she's got that friend Susie. That helps you. And that helps you how to pray for people. That's one of the things that I do. So I'll think about somebody. And then typically the Lord will either remind me or my brain will work in that way that God is organized. And I'll think of that other person. Then I'll pray for that other person. That's all. Just try and do it with the Lord. All right, let me get to this next section. You're going to love me and hate me again. That's okay. Kind of have to love me a little bit. We just got over the what was said. Any money is left over should be used in whatever way you and your colleagues feels is the will of God. Boy, are some people going to have a field day with that. But as for the utensils we are entrusting to you for the service of the temple of your God, deliver them in full to the God of Jerusalem. And if you run short of money for anything necessary for your God's temple, or for any similar needs, you may requisition funds from the royal treasury. Hey, you too, as a Christian, may requisition funds from the royal treasury, because God is an ample giver. It's just straightforward. But there are a couple of caveats to that. This is where the name it and claim it kind of falls a little short. Okay, falls a lot short. This is for anything necessary. It's not necessary for you to have 5 75-inch TVs surrounding your bed while you sleep. Okay, that's not necessary. Come on. And the other part about that is that promise that's in Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory, in context has to do with all of those people at Philippi who gave to Paul in order to support his ministry, to keep him going. And so he even says, not that I desire your gifts, but I desire the more credit be given to your account. I've received full payment, more than enough. I'm amply supplied. And now that I've received that gift from Epaphroditus, the gift you sent. Paul's like, you know, God's going to take care of you. You guys are so cool because you took care of me, and God's going to take care of you. You see, this is the context. And what people will do is they'll quote 4:19. Oh, it's going to be according to his riches and glory, but it's based on the fact that they were being supportive people of the kingdom of God. And that principle comes down to, don't be deceived, God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you're a person that gives and you're helping other people in their needs, God's going to cover you, period. And 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, the person who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. The person that sows generously will reap generously. I didn't write that. Not my book. But God has this thing where people, how people respond to other people, God responds to them. If you go, oh, that's not true. Psalm 18:25, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. Yes, it is true. the solved. So why I bring that up is because it's okay to requisition from the royal treasury. And if you're a person that's inclined to being sharing and giving and helping and so on and so forth, you can count on those funds are as good as, I mean, they're yours. But if you're a stingy person who's just looking out for yourself and doesn't care about other people, you can't use Philippians 4:19 because you're not following the context. You're just taking bits and pieces. Can't do that. Not allowed. Can't take one verse from here and another verse from there, slap it all together and say, this is my new Bible. Doesn't work. The Philippians were promised that God would cover their needs based on God's riches because they were covering the needs of Paul. Period. Nothing else. See what I'm saying? And why that's important? I think it's pretty straightforward. Why that's important is because that's the spirit you deal with. And again, if you're listening to me and you're thinking, he's asking for money, I'll tell you what, don't give here. Go give somewhere else. Because the principle doesn't change. The principle is straightforward. If you're a person that helps cover an advanced ministry, God's going to cover and advance you. That's how it's going to go. It's not about always being money, I should point out, because sometimes those treasures are in heaven. But there's just no question the type of person that God is talking about. And I love this text because the guy's saying, hey, yeah, you need something? Yeah, requisition the funds from the royal treasury. I just think that's a fantastic way to pray when you come before the Lord. And you go, I am now requisitioning funds from the royal treasury? that's genius. And God's a giver. God's generous. To the generous, he's going to be generous. To those that are stingy, I think you know where that goes, right? Figure that out. That seems totally, I love that. Okay, just think of the right spirit. God loves a cheerful giver and is willing to give back to them. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this, then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed.
and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Having a lot of fun on today's show. You're thinking it's Monday, you can't have fun. You can too. You can have fun on a Monday. Any day that ends with Y, you can enjoy. Here you go. Here's your next trivia question. So there are fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. What is the last fruit that is mentioned? There are fruits of the Spirit, and they are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. What is the last fruit that is mentioned? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Already somebody calling in. I don't know if that's fast. That's get through it. And then we're going to encourage you, of course, to check out our website. There, ready to answer the trivia? That is fast. And that is, like, fast. Okay? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Samson. How are you, brother?
Good, brother. How are you?
Very good. Good.
Okay. Now, hey, you are fast on this one, right? So do you know the name of the last fruit of the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23?
That I need everyday self-control.
That is correct, sir! I, like you, need that when I pray. So every day I pray. There's certain passages, like I'll pray unto the Lord. So I go through the fruits of the Spirit every day. And then when I get to self-control after I've gone through the first eight, usually by then I'm laughing. Because I'm like, I'm already working out trying to figure out the first eight, and then I get to self-control and go, ay vey. this is like, wow.
Yeah, that's what I've been asking Lord to help me to. Yeah. But I would confess, yes, every day I messed up.
Yeah, I just don't know a day. I don't know a day I've gone where I haven't, since I've been a Christian, I don't look up and go, please, please help me.
Hey, I want to ask you and your audience to keep please praying for me, and that whatever that's happening in my blood work, that God will just supernaturally heal me.
Okay. Do you know has any of it come back, or do you know what's going on?
No, well, my appointment with doctor, I believe, is the next month. But on my previous two report, he said, like, there is a something, the size of red blood cell are a little smaller. So it's like there is some kind of deficiency. So he put me some on a pill and also recommend me to some eat more green vegetables, which is sometimes a struggle.
Yeah.
For me.
Gotcha.
I like junk food.
Yeah, I hear you. Let me just pray for you for the blood work, okay? Let's do that real fast. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we're just lifting up Samson to you. We're asking, Lord God, that you would bring healing into his body. Now, it's not that he hasn't done anything wrong. It's not like he's doing a perfect job feeding the temple. But he knows he's got to do better, and he needs some help, and he needs some grace. And we're asking you to work in his life in such a way as to even put it in his heart to desire, to even want to do it more appropriately, more health in a healthy manner. But in the meantime, Lord, don't let him. If you treated us as our sins deserved, we'd all be wiped out. So have mercy on him. Have that grace poured out upon him, and let him have kind of a refresh, reboot start, and let him be confident that he is walking with you, hand in hand, not way, way behind or way, way ahead, but side by side walking with you. We pray that you give them comfort and courage in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, David.
You are welcome, my brother.
I have a request. I know in the past you taught on the Ten Commandments. I just want some teaching on that. I know I like the way you explain some of those commandments. So
yeah, that's a great topic. Yeah, I'll bring that up like in the next week or so. We'll do something on the Ten Commandments and give you a chance to kind of review, because some of them are, I think they're it's very, very fascinating. I see it as 3, 1, and 6. You know what I know it's crazy, but first three apply to God. The fourth one, the Sabbath, is for ourselves, and then the six go to your fellow man. So it's a very interesting process. But we'll definitely talk about that. I'll add that into the mix.
All right. Well, thank you, David.
All right.
And shalom to you and to your family.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, let me make one correction. We have somebody in our audience that did make the correction. I did say fruits of the Spirit is in plural. It's fruit of the Spirit. It is singular. That is correct. There are variations, and then fruit, the word itself, has a multiplicity in it, but it is singular when it says it in Galatians 5:22. So thank you. I would give your name, but I'm not sure what it is because I don't think you've texted it. That's what happened with Kurt and me. Kurt was texting the show for 2 months, and then I said, well, I'd say thank you, but I don't know your name, but then he sent me his name. This is how we roll, people. We're just normal. All right, let's do our history because we're going to miss it otherwise. So let's go ahead and do history.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
All right, I only have a couple seconds to do this, so I want to make sure everybody gets this. Today is Etch-a-Sketch Day. Did you ever have an Etch-a-Sketch? Did you know? You never had one?
No, because I kind of suck at drawing, so I just never kind of went towards that.
Okay. I understand that. Today is Eat Your Jell-O Day. Okay. I can live with that. Today is Simplicity Day. Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Now, I'm going to do this one little routine, and you guys are not going to like it, but I have to do it because it's one of my favorites. Today is Paper Bag Day. And the only reason I'm going to bring that up is two reasons. One, if you really want to have fun with your grandkids, take a paper bag, put it in your hand, and like when you snap, put your hand on the bag, and then with your kids, pretend, throw a ball up in the air, and then when it comes, pretend it comes back in, then you snap your finger while your hand's in the bag, holding the bag, and it's like the ball fell in the bag. Okay, it's just kind of a cool little trick. But then here's my favorite thing, and then we'll just end with this. Many people are not going to be appreciative of this. It's okay. You can turn the show off for about 60 seconds. But there's a classic routine about this, about a guy who was a detective. And so the guy comes into the detective's office and he goes, "Do you know what I have in my hand here?" And the detective goes, "I used all my years of brilliant observation and study, all of my interesting college information, and all of the time I spent as a detective. And so I answered him. It's a brown paper bag." Okay, folks. Sorry. I couldn't resist. Isn't that funny? It's all of my brilliance. It's a brown paper bag. Okay. All right, here we go. This is what you get, folks. Next portion of the text. "You are to give him 7,500 pounds of silver, 500 bushels of wheat, 550 gallons of wine, 550 gallons of olive oil, unlimited supply of salt, and be careful to provide whatever the God of heaven demands." Stop right there. Be careful to provide whatever the God of heaven demands. I'm not even talking to you about finances or anything, okay? I'm talking to you about this. We need to be careful to provide, respond, yield to whatever the God of heaven demands of us. How far can that demand go? He could send you on the mission field. You going to tell him no to his face? You say, "No, God," and then claim you're obedient? He could ask us to offer up the most important thing. Now, he's not going to do it the way he did it with Abraham, because that's a definite extreme. And Abraham was, in fact, a patriarch in the Old Testament and also built upon in the New Testament. But Abraham had made a god out of Isaac, his own child. And God said, "You know what? You're going to have to change this. because you can't have anything in between you and me. And right now, Isaac's getting a lot more attention than you're supposed to give him, and I'm getting a lot less attention than I'm supposed to have. And so you just have to ask yourself, is there anything in your life, anything that's going on, any situation, any person, any any health issue or anything else that's going on that's more powerful in its pull of your thinking and thoughts and of your heart than God is? Because whatever that is your God. In other words, anything, if you just look at it in this way, and it's rude, but it's a nice way to say it. If you are standing at the 1 foot level and God is at the 3 foot level, all right, and there's anything that comes to the 2 foot level, that becomes God. Now, is that your actual deity that it's got? No, that's not the point. The point is it's coming between you and God, and the Lord will have nothing between you and him. Nothing. So if you have something, whatever it is. So for me, besides my pride and my arrogance and my complaining, foolishness, 50-50, and all that other stuff, it's whatever I've got going on that I've put in between God and I just made that God in the context that I've put that between God and I. And so therefore that by juxtaposition, it became like a God. And it's like, oh boy, can't do that. Right? So I love this text. I love texts like this or things like this because no, that is not the premise of the message. It is not the context of the message. And I'm telling you this so that you're not fooled or deceived or anything like that. But I think a passage that says, be careful to provide whatever the God of heaven demands is an applicable passage in multiple ways. It is not the primary definition. It is not the primary context, but it is a challenging statement to you and I to say, you can't have anything in between us. We can't put anything in between, be it person, be it situation, be it ourselves. Nothing can be in between. Whatever God demands, you know what he demands of us? 100%. That's what he demands. I didn't write it. Don't make it about me. I'm just reading it. All right, great. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who knows when I'm broke?
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again.
Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I couldn't even say KAAM on the exit just about 5 minutes ago. This is one of those things that's like KAAAAAM. Okay. Ready for our last trivia question? Of course you're not, but here we go anyway, so we'll do our best as we can. What book comes after the book of Micah? Okay, no trick question here. Okay. Okay, people are like, is that a book? Now, if I do the Hezekiah line, you'll know that's not true. What book comes after the book of Micah? Okay. And I'm not going to, oh boy, Joy Ann and Cordelia, they waited about 1/10 of a second. That's pretty fast. Wowzer. All right, what else? Are we supposed to do the word? Oh, we got a word to do. T's been gone for a couple of days. She's probably going, why am I not back on vacation? I can't help you. This will be Hebrew, okay? It'll be a Hebrew word, okay? So let's go ahead and do the Hebrew thing. All right. This is coming out of 2 Kings chapter 12. I think it's verse 9 that we're reading from. Then Jehoiada the priest took a chest, bore a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar. We're looking for the word altar. Mizbech. Sometimes we use bima, but mizbech is the word here. Altar, place of sacrifice. The root of mizbech and zebech, which means to slay or sacrifice to offer an animal. It occurs more than 400 times in the Old Testament. Mizbech. Mizbech. And now you're sad that I'm bech on the air. Mizbech. Altar. Okay? Okay. You are maybe smarter for that. I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure. Trivia question. What book comes after Micah? If you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Got a lot of texts coming in, which is always fun. And then also, if you want to text in, 214-210-8483. So you can call, you can text. You know, you can scream it out in the air. I do have really big ears. I just don't think I'll be able to hear it. You can try. Mizbech. 400 times. Anytime something's used in scripture like that many times, you got to think that's important, right? Yeah. That's why the Thanksgiving principle drives me nuts where people are like, well, you're going to get things for everything. The entire book of Psalms, 150 chapters, is almost every single one, it says be thankful always. I mean, just be grateful. Have a grateful attitude. The most quoted book in the New Testament is the Psalms. Okay. Get that off my chest. Now I feel better. All right, here's the next part of this Ezra 7 portion. We'll just leave it here. It says this, I also decree that no priest, Levite, singer, gatekeeper, temple servant, or any other worker in this temple will be required to pay taxes of any kind. If you want to know where that came from in our country, it came from that spot right there and a few other spots, but that's one of the main spots. And you, Ezra, are to use the wisdom God has given you to appoint magistrates, judges who know your God's law to govern all the people in the province west of the Euphrates River. Here is another element that just, I don't think I can stress enough how important this portion is in what its application is. So again, in context, the king has said to Ezra to use the wisdom God's given him and to make great choices on selecting people who are judges and magistrates, and that absolutely is the context, absolutely what's being said. Now I want to say that same thing as it applies to you and I. Okay? Okay. Use the wisdom God has given you. Let's just, you know, take a step of real Christian living. The Lord has answered your prayers. He has, by his grace and mercy, redirected your steps. Every one of us is thankful for that, I think. He has guided us into a better direction, given us wisdom. He's rebuked us when we've done stuff wrong. If he didn't rebuke us, he wouldn't love us, which is something that the world doesn't understand about the word love, is that it involves discipline. Here's a big part of what you and I are responsible for before the Lord. He has poured into you, given you, graced you, blessed you, guided you. Use it. Use the wisdom God has given you. Use the insight God has shown you. Don't be afraid to say, well, this happened to me. This is how I approached it in the Lord, when you have had a successful outcome in the Lord. Don't be afraid to share it. Don't be afraid to declare it. Don't act like you know it all, because you don't. Don't act like you're smarter than everybody else, because you're not, right? Just what the Lord has given you, use in such a way as to be a blessing for other people. And one of the things that God has granted you and I in situation after situation, and more than we perhaps would ever even acknowledge, is his wisdom. It's like, this is better not touched. Or, oh, when I encountered this, I didn't do this. Don't be afraid to share that. Don't be afraid to communicate that, because you're a vessel of God. You are a representative of God. You are an ambassador, which we've talked about at Nazim. And you should be aware that your ability to communicate God's truth and God's wisdom exists. That's why he's poured it into you. God doesn't just give you wisdom so that you can have a happy life. He gives it to you so that you can also share it and be participant. This is why you hear me often say you got to have some kind of connective fellowship group, because the truth is your insights are designed to help others as well as yourself. But you can't do that out of fellowship. You can't see something that's going on or hear something that's going on, and then by osmosis, you have granted them the benefit of your wisdom. You got to be a part of it. And by being a part of it, you got to be committed to their wellness and their doing better in the Lord. And that should be something we're all committed to. We should all be seeking the best interests of one another in the Lord. We should be all, I mean, there's a couple of great ways to understand it, but to understand that you embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you grow with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you encourage others to also embrace and grow in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That, you can sum it up there. You know, God called you. Now put your arms out wide and bring everybody in with you that you can as you're drawing closer and closer. Because that's what the Lord expects of us. And he's given us this wisdom. And some of you have an extraordinary amount of wisdom. I know that sounds funny, but I get a great deal of texts, and sometimes people say really, not just clever things. I mean, I enjoy clever things. I think you guys know that, but really insightful. Like, oh, that's really good. And one thing I have learned in being a Bapticost is there is just brilliance all over the body of God. Nah, there's a lot of knuckleheads. There's always going to be knuckleheads in every group. That can't change that. But there's just great wisdom and brilliance that resides amongst the people of God, and you're a part of that. Share that. Be that person that cares about others enough to be connected to that. I feel strongly about that. I believe it's true. I believe Scripture is absolutely clear. It's not good for man to be alone. That's true between Adam and Eve, and it's true between all of us, right? That's not a good thing. That's not how Jesus designed it. Jesus
mostly in almost every circumstance, not every circumstance, but almost every circumstance, sent them out two by two or in groups or in gathers. And so it's there's strength in numbers when you do that. There's an ability to strengthen one another, encourage one another. I'll tell you one thing that happened to me. I want to be really, 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 really careful. Really careful how I share this with you. But I had gone to the church I was attending, Stillwater Community Church in Rowlett. And the third time, I'd introduced myself to Pastor Kurt and so on and so forth. The third time I went in, and I was kind of feeling a little down about some other things that were taking place as we were kind of making some corrections in the radio ministry. And Kurt, you know, said something to me that was offhanded like comment for him. But it was like he didn't even think it through. Like it wasn't like this, like well thought out. He just like shared blah, 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 blah. And that brightened my face and changed my countenance. So think of that. Think of how just you sharing just the littlest thing can brighten the face of somebody and change their countenance. And that's the God. That's the gift God has given you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Sometimes you can say something. Sometimes you can be praying for somebody. Sometimes you can be an encouragement in the littlest way, and it just makes a big difference. And God has given you wisdom, and God's given you insight, and he wants you to use it to glorify his name and to help others. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you'd love yourself. You don't have to be an extrovert to tell somebody you appreciate them. And you don't have to be an extrovert to pray for people. Just be willing. Just be the vessel. He'll use you. I mean, he loves to use his kids in that way and partner with them. I mean, what do you think the whole Bible is about? It's the partnership between God and man through the Holy Spirit. I mean, how cool is that, right? Well, all my life, all I wanted was a baguette. Oh, trivia. I got to answer trivia. Good call. I forgot completely. I would have completely exited without that. After the book of Micah, after Micah is Nam or Nahum or Nam. I don't care how you say it. The Nahum one. That one. Okay? Yeah, okay. What a fun show for a Monday. All right, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope it was a blessing for you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, okay. TJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Truth Radio.